Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Welcome aboard, Linda Quintrell, Rita Ford, longtime listener. Wait, you go way back, Rita. Leah Tang, Ideas, Carla Dyson, Happy Hindenburg, Ganey Rue, Sister Maria from London, and others. I'm not looking at Twitch yet, but all you over on Twitch, welcome. We're going to get started. And Brother Mac, the mic is yours today.
Okay. Yeah, and feel free, because if you see something, you have a question on it, let me know.
Sure.
And I'll hope you watch Twitch for me, and if people have questions, I'll try to answer them. Sometimes it succeeds, sometimes I don't. But what I've done, I've set up a PowerPoint. And if you go to aliveontheedge.com, go to the 2020 programs, you can download these free. I don't charge anything for these. And I have the first two up there, too. And the nice thing about the ones you download of the first two is I have all the video in them. But as we found out a few weeks ago, that for some reason, YouTube doesn't believe in fair use. YouTube doesn't believe in fair use. YouTube doesn't believe in fair use. What's that?
I was about to say, what is that? That was Twitch. I didn't have it muted. Okay. Wow. Okay, I got to get on my game here. I got it fixed now. We were getting some
feedback.
Feedback. I was about to say, what's Tom doing? Okay, we're ready. There, you're right.
Yeah,
they don't believe in fair use. No question about that on YouTube. But I think we'll have a more longevity on Twitch. Back over to you.
Well, as I understand, the only thing where Twitch has a problem is if you do music, but if you use free music, you're actually pretty good. Or one of the things you can do is use classics, because it's public domain and has been for years. If you play a piece from Bach, you're not going to see Johann Sebastian Bach's family come after you for copyright, because first, it's in the public domain, and I'm sorry, but there's probably thousands and thousands of people who are children of Johann Sebastian Bach or relatives in some way. In fact, he did have children. I just remembered that because one of his sons actually published music too. But let's go on to ancient evil. If we remember back on the first two programs, we learned that ancient evil came about as the direct counter to Yahuwah himself, to our Heavenly Father. And he's been there opposing. He was there via the serpent in the Garden of Eden. But he was no snake in those days. He was a handsome neo-human being, or some kind of human being. He was that charming, that eloquent, and he got Eve to imbibe in the fruit. Won't take it any further than that, but then along comes Cain and Abel. Abel's sacrifice is accepted. Cain's is not. Cain's angry. And because of that anger, ancient evil was able to get him. And suddenly, he's so angry, he not only kills his brother, he drinks his blood. The Hebrew makes it rather clear. And suddenly, you have a wild man traversing the earth. And but he is marked. And that mark is the Hebrew word oath. Gee, I think we have oaths in our own society. You go to court and you're going to testify. They're going to make you swear an oath that you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And they did that purposely. Because back in the old days, people knew what happened if you lied under oath. But that was God's oath to Cain, that no man would kill him. Because I can guarantee you, a lot of people would like to kill him for what he did. And it goes down from Cain. We start seeing the confusion of the species. And it was only Noah that ended up being perfect in his generations. And the thing to understand about Noah is he was the only one, and that's why you had to track the lineage to show that he was the only one that was perfect in his generations. But everybody else had been contaminated by the Nephilim genes. And in some cases, it turned men into giants and made them so wild. Sometimes I wonder about the immunizations we got when we were in school, because you go back to the 1950s. I think in 1954, the NBA had its first 7-foot center, a guy by the name of Walter Dukes. Now, every team has got a 7-foot player on it. And if you go to most of the major colleges, and even some not-so-major colleges, their basketball teams have 7-footers on them routinely, sometimes more than one. And suddenly we look at football players. These days, a linebacker is 260 pounds. Whereas you go back not that many years, the refrigerator was a novelty in 1985 because he was over 300 pounds. Now, you can't make it as a defensive tackle in the NFL if you aren't 300 pounds. What has happened? Why are we suddenly getting all these larger people? Why are we getting all these larger people? There's a plan out there. And behind that plan is ancient evil. We go to that first slide. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. And they did. Isaiah was sawed in half. Jeremiah was thrown in a pit. And not too many of them were treated very well, because actually speaking the word of the Lord is not very popular. And ancient evil is going to, and as it gets closer to the end, ancient evil is going to seem to get more powerful. It's only going to seem it, because we have a Father in heaven who is all-powerful. But he also asks us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He didn't say deliver us from Satan. He didn't say deliver us from demons. He said deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It isn't ancient evils. It is our heavenly Father's. It's important to get that understanding built in. Evil is a spiritual being. It works to corrupt. And it's corrupting all the time. And that's why we are commanded in the scriptures to cast out demons, because they are the ones that are putting forth evil's program. And one of the things, we go to Matthew 7 here, and it's important to understand that a good tree or a good person with a good life cannot bring forth evil fruit. And a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And that's something to understand. When you look at the character of a person, Yahushua is telling us that if they're good character, they're going to bring forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And the important thing to understand is you know people by the fruits they put forth. It's why when you see last week when we talked about Joe Biden, we saw all the bad fruit that man has brought forth. Do you expect him to suddenly bring forth good fruit now? I don't think so. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I don't think so. However, if you're gathering grapes, you can get stuck sometimes, because I've picked grapes a few times in my life. But also the other thing that gets mentioned in this little section is beware of false prophets, which come to you looking like they're Christians, but inside, they're ravening wolves. They're going to see you, and they're going to take you apart. And it's interesting he uses wolves, because that's how Cain killed Abel. It's the same way a wolf kills its prey, by cutting the carotid arteries and drinking their blood. They're bloodthirsty. The more blood they get, the more dangerous they are. We'll cover that a little later. So, you go on to Matthew 12. He talks about it again. Either make the tree good. And who can make a tree good? Yahushua can. You just heard Mel Novak give an altar call. And please, if you don't do anything else tonight, follow that altar call. Call Mel and give him your testimony. I'm sure he would appreciate it. So our Heavenly Father can make the tree good and his fruit good. And if the tree's good, the fruit's going to be good. But if the tree's corrupt, the fruit's going to be corrupt. And if you've ever tried eating corrupt fruit, it is not pleasant. These days we get everything out of a grocery store, and a lot of people don't even know how we get all the things that are in the grocery store. But believe me, it gets rotten in the grocery store too. And it could be because the place they got it from was corrupt. And then he changes direction there for a second. O generation of vipers, Viper is a type of serpent. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And here he's addressing the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, as we've talked about in past programs, is part of the Fiabi family. And they were corrupt from the beginning. Remember, they are half Roman. So really, they had no place being the high priest in the temple. And here, Yahushua is calling them on the carpet for that. There were many families much more qualified, much more pure than the Fiabi family was. But because they helped Herod, Herod had to return the favor. Here's another thing that's very interesting. And if you're believing in a pre-trib rapture, you need to wonder, if Yahushua is praying this, how can there be a pre-trib rapture? He says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If there's a true Lord's Prayer, this is part of it. He doesn't want us out of the world. He just wants us kept from evil. Or in this case, from the evil. And he keeps referring to it as the evil. That is, you're going to see this throughout all these scriptures I quote tonight. This is a thing that we don't understand, and the church has been very, very negligent in not teaching it to us. But the trouble is, for a lot of them, they don't know. I mean, I can only think of a half dozen churches I've ever been in my life that have done deliverance. And it's interesting, we look here in Luke 7:21, and we have evil spirits, and Yahushua did that. You go through almost every page of the Gospels, and he's curing people of their infirmities and plagues. Where have I heard that word before? And evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Everywhere he goes, Luke 8, there it again. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And that was quite a bit in those days. Though we'll talk about the Gadarene demoniac a little later. And when they were healed, they ministered to Yahushua. They were so grateful. And then we get to the book of Acts. Like I say, I'm leaving out a lot of them. I'm picking on certain ones. And this is something that has been abused considerably. And Yahushua wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That was a special miracle. even the book of Acts says it was a special miracle, not just every day, though I would like to see every day spirits or everyday miracles happen in the churches right now. But we're going to find out why in a little while. And then the next thing Acts 19 talks about, and this to me is an even bigger miracle. And we know the story. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had the evil spirits by the name of Savior Yahushua, saying, "We adjure you by Yahushua, whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. Not a good idea, guys. And the evil spirit answered, said, "Yahushua I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Or you guys? And the man in whom the evil spirit, was, leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Savior Yahushua was magnified. Here these guys are making a mess of things. But the demon, or the demons, actually told the story and testified of Yahushua for them. You don't always get that. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They told everyone what they were doing. Many of them also which used curious arts. Another word would be occultic arts. They brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, about $1 million in our money. Have you yet seen a place where they burned $1 million worth of occult books? So mightily grew the word of Yahuwah and prevailed. Let's keep going here. We got a lot to cover in this first hour. Second John verses 10 and 11. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised." So there's a spiritual workout that can be done to discern both good and evil. "And if there come any of you and bring not this doctrine," which is what the Apostle John is preaching, "receive him not into your house, neither bid him peace, for he that biddeth him peace is partaker of his evil deeds." This is important. If you want to stop the evil, don't let it in your house. Don't bring any Buddhas in your house. Don't bring any of these little pictures from foreign countries. In fact, you got to be careful in this country anymore. You bring those dolls into your house, you don't want know what kind of evil blessing was placed on that doll when it was made in China or in Asia or Africa. And the friendly Mormon or Jehovah Witness knocks on your door, don't let them in. Because if you do, you're a partaker of their evil deeds. got to be very careful on that. Ancient evil is looking for every way he can sneak into your house. Now let's take a look here. Peter, he took one chapter of 2 Peter to talk about dealing with evil. And this is one of the times he explains in detail what we need to be doing. And he warns, but there were false prophets among the people. Jeremiah ran into a few false prophets, and he had to deal with them. One of them, because he prophesied falsely and told the Israelites that the Babylonians were not gonna defeat him, he died a year later. So false prophets among the Israelites, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the master that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Let me explain something. These people can deny the master by their behavior. It isn't just in words. It's what they do, as Shannon was mentioning earlier. They just caught another megachurch pastor who was having an affair with an Islamic woman. Excuse me? That's denying the master that bought them. We have to realize this is going to happen. Just because that guy is good looking and he says nice words, when I see that combination, sometimes I get very, very concerned. Because let's see what Peter says. And many shall follow their destructive way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Sure has been happening a lot lately. Verse 3, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. These guys, literally, there's a lot of them out there. They know how to say the smooth words that will make you feel good, because when they do, they can use you. And when they do, you become merchandise that they can buy and sell, literally. Peter warns us, don't be doing that, or don't be trusting these guys. I would rather have somebody preach me the truth than somebody who's going to omit some of these things that are not nice. For if Yahuwah spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to Tartarus, the word in King James is hell, the Greek word is Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Tartarus is a place in hell where you can hold evil spirits. And sometimes that's where you send them, especially if they make you spend too much of your time delivering a person of them. If you send them to Tartarus, they're not going to bother anybody else. They're going to be stuck there in a nice fiery place. And sometimes I've heard it sung, Tartarus is a horrible place, filled with shame and disgrace. Let's see. You'll see never see another face. Tartarus is a horrible place. Took me a little time, but I've heard churches sing that song to torment the demons further. And they'll do it while they're doing deliverances. So, and then Peter goes to another example. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the wicked. So we learn from Peter that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We don't hear that in the book of Genesis. But one of the things is Peter has the Holy Spirit teaching him too to fill in some of the blanks. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with an overthrow, making them an ensample, or an example is the word we'd use today, unto those that live after, that after should live wicked. Here's the thing we get. First, Peter talks about the angels at sin. Revelation refers to them as Satan and his angels, Revelation 12:9. So he talks about the previous judgments, the angels at sin. They got cast down to hell. Two, the corrupted flesh at the time of Noah, the Nephilim. That was another judgment. And the third judgment was the homosexuality of Sodom and Gomorrah. It makes me worry about some of the things I've seen with this current administration, putting a homosexual in a very high position. When I see this, I can't imagine what our judgment's going to be. And then for emphasis' sake, Peter goes on to explain a little more about Sodom and Gomorrah. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But Yahuwah knoweth how to deliver the reverent out of temptations, and to reserve the just unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities or people that are in leadership. And when I hear speak evil, it isn't just saying, well, I disagree with what so-and-so is doing. They're taking it one step further. They're speaking lies, misinformation. Sort of sounds like the mainstream media at the moment. And Peter says, be careful. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before Yahuwah. He said the angels, which are greater than we are, they don't bring railing accusations against these people. They go get facts, and they produce facts to say, this is what they did, and we have proof. I see too many people making railing accusations these days. In fact, one of the Bible codes I put on my site, I use it to finally get the proof we need to prove a point. But There are a lot of them. They're natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. You put it in today's language, they like to party. And I see a lot of that here just because of the marijuana thing and the fact it's legal here. I see people rioting in the daytime. Once in a while, my son and I have to call the police because they don't mind smoking joints right out in public. Spots are, they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. They're going to come in. They're going to feed off the Word of God, even though they are beasts and they don't understand. But they're still going to come in and eat. And it gets worse, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Someday we're going to have to go over Balaam in a little more detail. Until that time, I think you can go to hbcdelivers.org and you can order a sermon from them at a real reasonable price, I think $3 or something, which is about what the CD costs and the time it costs to get it reproduced. But Win Worley has a sermon called How Balaam Became a Witch. And this is where these guys go. They hang out in your churches. Sometimes they get in leadership positions, as we've been seeing a lot of the last few years. They have eyes full of adultery. And boy, do they take advantage. One of the things that I've heard many pastors say, that is one of the mistakes they feel young people make way too often, is when they get in a pastor's position, they counsel women by themselves. The church should have a rule that if they're going to counsel women, there should be another woman in that office. And I've heard more than one pastor tell me that they would have their wife be in with them, and they said they'd start to counsel with them, but then the two women would talk, and it turned out the wife was doing the counseling. But unfortunately, these guys fall into that trap, and the ancient evil gets them. Because these guys, it gets even worse. These are wells without water. And Shannon spent a little time in the desert. You get a little thirsty, you see a well, and you go to drop some water, and you find it's empty. Nothing is worse.
Not good.
Clouds that are carried with a tempest. Let's turn that into modern English. It's like seeing all these thunderclouds come on the horizon and you think you're going to get rain. But they just pass through and no rain. And you're disappointed. You get these guys that they can preach a wonderful sermon. They can tell you all about how there's going to be revival. And it's going to happen right here in this church. And they say it week after week after week, and nothing happens. The trouble is, they don't know what the conditions that need to be met to have revival. And the next verse sort of explains that. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, meaning they have nothing in them telling them not to do it. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. So you can avoid these people. When you walk into a place, you know, this is when you need to exercise that gift of discernment. And when you get that gift of discernment, you can see just what the Spirit is there. And if you see Ichabod on the door, turn around and go the other way. Because these guys, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So you stay there, you're going to fall into bondage. And here's for all those that believe in hyper-eternal security, they need to read these next verses. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of their Master and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. A dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, or mud. This, you read these three verses, you begin to see that any time you're in ministry, any time ancient evil is going to be there and he's going to tempt. And many times people get overcome. And when that happens, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. This is an important chapter, 2 Peter 2, needs to be studied. And when you study that, then I would suggest you also read the book of Jude. Interesting, the book of Jude discovers these things. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, Yahuwah rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. Sounds just like 2 Peter. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things, they corrupt themselves. But in the next verse, Jude adds something to the picture. That's why there's two witnesses, because sometimes one witness doesn't get it all or for some reason chooses not to write about it. He says, woe unto them For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. I would suggest Genesis 4 talks about Cain. Balaam is in Numbers 22 through 24, and Korah is in Numbers 16, I believe. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We're seeing almost the same argument being repeated from Jude, as we saw in 2 Peter 2. When you study one, you need to study the other. This is very much, we're seeing the character of ancient evil in these two chapters. Let's keep going here. And in one of the seven letters Yahushua wrote to the churches in the book of Revelation, he talks about, he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That was the good thing that was never mentioned to any of the other six churches. But after that, he gets after them for the next failure, that they have lost their first love, that they're not doing this because they love their Messiah. They're doing it almost out of a religiosity. Because unless you are connected to your Messiah and you are in constant contact and constant conversation, you suddenly become able, or you decide you know good from evil. And suddenly you're forcing your definition when that definition is alone our Heavenly Father's. But He has given us the Holy Spirit to cover these things and to help us and to guide us. Then before we finish this and go on to a subject, I put this on here sort of at the last minute. And it's one of the toughest chapters in the Bible. It's Ecclesiastes 12. And Ecclesiastes is the writings of King Solomon, who in his later days, after he had sinned and after he'd done all the bad stuff, he returns to his Heavenly Father. We will study him in a few weeks, probably in January when the Major and I get back. We're going to talk about Solomon. And I would almost say he's the Antichrist that almost wasn't, because he turned and returned to his Heavenly Father. And when he did, he passed on some very deep wisdom. And he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. If you're young people listening to this, remember your Creator. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's a lot of reasons when you get old that you don't have pleasure in your days. And then he says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Basically, Solomon's saying, remember your Creator now, because there will be bad days. And in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. This is not a good time. In fact, we're in that time. Some of the strongest people around are bowing. They're putting on this little thing on their face. And they're staying in their homes. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And the daughters of music shall be brought low. Wow. We have a little birdie sound and you wake up. That's a pretty evil day. Solomon here is talking about the day of the Lord and nobody realizes it. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. This is a very, very evil time. Or the silver cord be loosed. Some people in deliverance, when they find somebody astral projecting into their service, sometimes they will ask the angels to sever the silver cord so that they can't astral project. But sometimes you need a little more than that. Solomon tells us what we need to do. Or the golden bowl be broken, which is what you use. It's sort of like a cauldron to create your spell. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. Sometimes to pour liquids into the fountain or into the bowl, you have to break the pitcher so that they can't put the liquids in. And when they go to get water at the cistern, you need to break the wheel, which puts the bucket up and down. And when that happens, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Elohim who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. We need to think about that one a little more. And I see here, Shannon, we've gone for almost an hour and 30 minutes.
Good teaching tonight.
But I wanted to stop and see if you had some questions or if the other people had questions.
Good time to look in the chat room. Friends, if you have a question, you can put it in the chat room. We'll certainly pose it to Brother Tom. Let me also go back in the Twitch.tv.